Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Teachers are like goalkeepers, right? They're goalkeepers because you either remember the shit ones or the great ones.
Mm.
The ones kind of, meh, they're good, do their job. You don't remember.
I really remember Mr. Onana when I was in grade two.
And Mr. Forrest, he was freaking brilliant.
Yeah. Towering presence.
That's funny. It's funny, Prime the podcast. That's Amy Walsh, she's sick. Craig Forrest is here. He's a little bit sick as well. Wong is here. He's just sick.
No. Hey, look. A lot of you guys have been bugging me about how sick I've been. You guys are all sick. I'm the opposite. I am Bizarro Superman.
No, you're sick not. As in sick in the head. Like, like Jimmy Dama was sick.
I got that. You're I got sick. The pun. Okay. I got it.
JC's here. JC he's not is sick.
Here. No. Jeffrey Dahmer?
I turned your microphone off while you were walking around.
Head, right? Let's be honest. Wouldn't have been a good teacher, probably.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah. Okay, maybe good culinary arts.
He would have been scouting the whole time. He'd be like, hey, draft choice number 4, the half Asian man in the corner, that Steve Chang guy. He's fun. He's outgoing. He might want to hang out one time.
He would taste good.
Well, you know what the other thing is? A little roasted garlic powder on me, I'd be delicious for
delicious.
For
you
Jeffrey
would be tasty,
Dahmer.
Actually. Very moist, I bet.
Oh,
like duck.
yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to
greasy.
Drip off all the fat.
A little greasy.
Yes, you have to render the Steve Chang.
But you keep that fat, though, for the next dish.
Oh, yeah, like the roasted spuds or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. The gravy. Yeah. I'm cooking today, actually. I think I'm doing a spicy jerk today, actually.
Mm.
What else? Oh, steak and ale as well. So
spicy jerk. That's another name for Jimmy Brennan, right?
Yes, who isn't here?
That spicy jerk.
Or it might be Jimmy, why he's not here.
Is he joining us today?
I think he's dropping the kids off and joining us on the run. I didn't get that, Amy. You're laughing. I have to say it again.
It might be describing Jimmy, or also might be why he's not here.
Oh God. We'll tell by the look of shame on him when he shows up in 5 minutes time. If he's got the Jimmy shame, we'll know. Wonga, by the way, was robbed yesterday.
I was.
Did you hear this?
What?
Yeah, so I have a CIBC card that I usually use just for gas. And on Thursday night, used it for my cab ride home. And the cab driver said, hey, my machine won't reach that far. And I said, okay, well, grab the card. And then he pulled it back and I punched the numbers in. Well, it was a clone machine. And I woke up on Tuesday, yesterday, and checked my CIBC account because I'm traveling at Christmas and I always like having money in it. And there was $1,500 gone. So they went through my account. They cloned my machine. So everyone be careful. They did it right in front of me. I felt stupid. And at the same time, I was angry. Mm-hmm. The fraud department at the CIBC were great. I have no idea if I'm getting the money back yet, but this will be an ongoing tale. And but just keep your eyes open. And even if your eyes are open, don't put your card into the front of a cab. Who knows what can happen? So
there's some rare, but some rogue cabbies.
Yeah, it's like the 5% of,
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So
you only hear about the teachers and great
bad cabbies and the good cabbies.
That's right. Wow. It's like anything.
So next time, take a fucking Uber.
Yeah, well, or Lyft, which we did on Friday night when we went and ate $18,000 worth of Chinese food.
By the way, I've got to invoice you, right? That
yeah.
Uber charge.
Yeah. Add it to your bill.
My bill. All right.
That's
so
listen. The Wonger. Sorry that happened.
It was very upsetting. Because I was literally going, all of my Christmas gifts. That's kind of my Christmas gift level for my family across the board. So now I'm going to have to delve into my retirement account and take out that $1,800 I've saved all of my life.
Otherwise known as Footy Prime's account.
That's no. I don't touch Footy Prime money.
Another one with like the bag that you leave on the sidewalk, but you like just dropped your bank card and be like, you guys, I was robbed, but actually I just left my card on the sidewalk.
Look, I'm at fault for a lot of this stuff. Let's be honest. So I live.
That wasn't your fault.
No. But I did get ripped off. But well done, sir. Well, good
being
scam.
Being robbed is just awful, though, isn't it?
When it really is.
It could be $10. It could be $1,500. I mean, I think I'd rather be eaten by Jeffrey Dahmer than get robbed. You feel so dirty afterwards and just like, thieves? Well, we know what thieves are, right? And they should all die on the plate of Jeffrey
Dahmer. Can I tell you, here's something. So when I was like 13.
Loaf of bread.
Can I tell you, when I was like 13, I got robbed by... Like I jumped by a group of fellas, and I was, it really shook me up because they beat me up pretty bad. And I went to my Grammy and Grandpa's house, and my Grammy said, so my Grammy was the first woman to work in the correctional system in Canada. She was a secretary and actually worked in a jail. So she said to me, she's like, don't worry, sweetheart, they'll get buggered in prison. And I had no idea what that, I'm like, what does that mean? And she said, you'll find out when you're 18. And boy, did I ever.
Sweet, sweet Grammy.
Yeah, what a story.
It made you feel better though, right? It's like, yeah, they will. They'll get really buggered in jail one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, enough about jail rape.
We went through Dahmer and then Jim.
Enough about Jerry. Yeah. Let's talk about Manchester United.
No, let's start with this. I mean, we've all heard the John Herdman interview on CBC's Player's Voice.
Player's Own Voice.
It's an outstanding interview.
Yeah.
Anastasia's one of those people that can draw. I think
she's
information
really else. Disarming, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. She's outstanding. A fascinating interview where he divulges the fact that he really thought that he should not have gone to the World Cup because mentally at the time he wasn't in the right place, given that his sister had committed suicide earlier in the year, and that he should have perhaps stepped aside in June. Craig, this is pretty powerful stuff. You never quite know what's happening behind the scenes. When you first heard this, you know, John, you've spoken to John in some detail a lot over the last couple of years. Did this surprise you?
No, not really. We had some deep discussions along. I mean, he's had deep discussions with a lot of people, I'll be honest with you. And he's got more layers than I've known any individual before. He's a very deep thinker. And he's also, what he talked about with his family has always been the fixer. And I can see that And he wasn't able to do that for his sister when he felt that it was on him because she was reaching out, or he thought she was. But quite honestly, I think that with the discussions I've had with him, it goes. I'm not sure that he could have helped her. Honestly, I think that she was probably beyond that, and I don't think that him going over at the time when he thinks he should have, that would have helped. Quite honestly, it was a sad situation with her that she fought for an awful long time. He's been there for the rest of the family and the kids of his sister as well, and it stung him. It really did, as it would do most people, of course. And how he's dealt with that, and through all those difficult times of qualification, having to have that in the back of his mind, it puts a lot of weight on an individual. So I was in the mind of thinking that when the World Cup came around, that he was ready and he was excited about it. He certainly was. But at the same time, I think it was in the back of his mind, and it was really hurting him, even though he was trying to kid himself that things were okay. But I thought the interview was, candid, really, really good. And the one-on-one situation. And I think sometimes certain individuals have that. And I think you nailed it, Dubs, with the unarming, of John. And I think that people are capable of doing that, because you can get an awful lot out of John if you do get in those one-on-one situations. And I think we saw something from him that most people don't. And that's that deep side of him that affects him on a daily basis.
I think we saw John as well, where he wasn't quote unquote on, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know him the way that you do, but he always strikes me as somebody who's obviously he's meticulous in his preparation. And you even see that in my mind is kind of a mask when he's present with media and he's doing interviews. And so I think with Anastasia, what she was able to do was to get to know, or to get John to present to the world who is actually the genuine John. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And then his discussion about trauma and everything that he had gone through, but also as it applied to sport and moving through competitions and dealing with your own individual performance, dealing with the dressing room going from a we environment to a me environment. I really loved how that kind of seamlessly transitioned, even though, the discussion about his sister was a little bit like a bomb at the end. And even Anastasia wasn't quite sure how to react, but he obviously felt comfortable enough to divulge that and to talk about it candidly, which I think is a really important discussion, because it's, suicide is something that doesn't get discussed, and mental health and people in prominent positions going through difficult situations where they're part of that support or they're dealing with it themselves. So I thought it was a really critical conversation to have, and I think gave people a better understanding of what he was moving through and what he was dealing with, and also the fact that Canada soccer was thoroughly unprepared for having that team at the World Cup, even though it was a surprise. And I saw it mostly as being a positive thing, like kind of a fuck you to everybody. Like, we're here, we've arrived. But the reality of it is that that support was not there in the way that it should have been. And that was sort of the overarching theme of it all, that personal support that he wanted to provide his sister, and maybe the support that he himself didn't seek, because he maybe didn't realize, and he's only realizing it now in hindsight, what he needed at the time to move through that in a way that allowed him to be present fully. He probably pushed down a lot of stuff that he should have dealt with.
It's the first time too, I think, that he really, I wouldn't say he criticized Canada soccer, but he insinuated that, like you said, their Dubs, they weren't ready, and that the we had become me at that level, and how they just weren't ready or prepared for a World Cup. That's the first time he's really spoken about that. I want more. I want more. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure and as years go by, we'll find out more how on the pitch this team was probably ready to a certain degree. They deserve to be there. They bossed CONCACAF. And regardless of what happened to the World Cup, they were a legitimate team side. They should be there, but behind the scenes, what they were dealing with, essentially an amateur run organization, not in the least bit ready for that kind of stage. And things that I think we suspected. But it's the first time that the head coach at the time said that.
Sorry, Sharms. There's also, Amy and I talk about this every once in a while, where you don't realize when death is going to affect you. It's, you know, so for John, obviously the trauma, but it's also, you know, as a player, you're playing through a lot of things. And it's, as a coach, the mental gymnastics to have to navigate the two different sides of your brain through that would have been, you know, it would have been incredible to come out that with any success whatsoever. When you think of death, I'll be honest about my situation. I used to be a voracious reader. I can't read. I haven't read novels since my dad passed in about 9 years ago, just because it puts me in this really dark place and a sad place. And then I'm not as, and hopefully I can break through that. But there's all these things that it triggers that you don't know until it happens. So for John, I have no idea whether or not, the stuff that we talk, Amy and I talk about it, we're like half crying all the time. But you get triggered, and all of a sudden it's overwhelming. And for me, that's when I get into a book or try to read, because my first books were always my dad's books. And so I read the whole Ludlum. I read all Tom Clancy, and it gives me good feelings, but it also makes me sad. And then I'm not present for my kids because I'm so sad that I'm like, oh, okay, I have an hour to work through this. So imagine the pressure, the amount of labor. I'm just talking about intensity of labor for John during that period. It's incredible that he was able to sustain what he did sustain, to be honest.
So, well, sorry, the whole reading thing with you, that's because it reminds you of your dad.
There's two things. It reminds me of, you know, to be a writer, to be a reader, you have to embrace the solitude. And it's a very difficult thing, and not a lot. That's why writers and, you know, people who are in the arts, they're always on the edge with a lot of this stuff. And I'm on the cusp of that. I'm half business, I'm half creative. And sometimes on the creative bent, I get a little, I can get deep into that. So not that I try and stay away from it, but if I know a trigger, I'll kind of manage my way through it and go, okay, I'm going to, because I've told my daughters, it's not just how I read, it's what I read. So going into a novel that is, you know, 800 pages keeps me, I can't do that. Whereas I read news voraciously. I read every, you know, we're always texting each other saying, hey, read this article. I probably read more now than I ever read, but it's about novels and nonfiction and even fiction. So I don't know why, but it's something I have to work through, obviously. So I'll share that with Canada, America, and all the world.
Anyone with some suggestions for really happy books for maybe shorter, maybe not 800 pages?
Well, you know, I'll start off with like cooking books, because it's just the ingredients.
And yes.
Literally, you're like, that's 2 pages, baby.
Yeah. And not Jeffrey Dahmer's cooking book.
No, exactly. Oh, God.
I love how you called it a cooking book. I call them cookbooks. You're no, yeah, this is right, a verb. This is an action book. This is a cooking book.
Yeah, maybe some Jamie Oliver might do you well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Very positive. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's obviously an enormous story. No one doubts that John wasn't ready for the World Cup, though, Craig. I mean, as far as planning, he is meticulous. He probably used that, I'm sure, to his advantage as well, as he's trying to deal with these as a coping mechanism to a certain degree. But if you're not mentally fully engaged at that level, can it? Let's be honest. Let's be cruel here. Can it cost a team? I don't think, from a coaching standpoint, it would it?
No, I don't think so, unless the player saw through that. But I don't. I think that he kept himself busy, and that obviously helped him quite a bit with it. But I think he was as prepared as he possibly could be. just shows you what's going on, because I mean, some of the stuff that he would have been dealing with, what he would have felt would incredibly trivial, you know, like first class travel, all this kind of stuff, and all these different things that he's dealing with players and their problems. Yet in the back of his head, he's got some real issues here and something that's tragic that's happened in his life. And he's trying to deal with that as well. And then also, like when Dan, you talk about your kids and he's trying to deal with his kids. And how does he deal with that? And how does he, you know, spend?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Time with him, and I know that that was a big factor for him in Vancouver, was the amount of time he was being able to spend with his family, which was terrific. But as far as making the move as well, when he did, it's clear now that it was the right moment for him, and he's got his own challenges too with his career, which he really enjoys challenging himself. He's always pushing himself to do something different and try something new, and this is a big project for him. But to be fair, I mean, Toronto SC can't go anywhere but up.
That's a valid point. Yeah, exactly. He talks, Dubs, about trauma in rooms, in locker rooms, and when he took over the women's team, he saw trauma. When he took over the men's team, he saw trauma. And certainly, I found it interesting, when he walked into that TFC room, he noticed there was trauma. And that's not to overblow or undersell the word trauma. It comes in many shapes and sizes. And some people might say, oh, they're freaking footballers. They got some bad results. But I think we have to acknowledge the pressure professional footballers are under here. And when he talks about trauma in that room, I find that quite interesting, that it is far more than just, you know, nuts and bolts, results. TFC, for example, this is something pretty ingrained in them at this point, it seems.
Yeah, and obviously he talks about himself being a fixer. And I think that's why he felt so, obviously, when you lose anybody, it's a tremendous amount to deal with. But he said he saw himself as a fixer and he couldn't fix it when it came to his sister. But I mean, that same kind of mentality, I think, helps him as a coach, as he sees a situation and he wants to dive in and he wants to fix it. And whether that's personal relationships, whether that's the dressing room, whether that's the tactics on the pitch. But I think as a footballer, as a high performing athlete, you do develop. And again, I'm drawing parallels now with language. You just mentioned it with trauma, you know, stealing from that realm, but obviously in a much more superficial sense, you do develop coping mechanisms as an athlete, in a way that you engage with teammates, in a way that you engage with staff, your manager, but also in the way that you engage with your job and in the day to day. And so if you've suffered, you know, hardships, as it were, or you haven't fulfilled expectations, then you're not really expressing yourself in a way that you can. And so you have to strip all of that away and then really address who you are as a person, who you are as an athlete. And I wasn't there in 2011 when he had to do that with the women's team, or 2018 with the men's team, and what he's dealing with right now with TFC. But I believe it's about stripping things bare and laying it down plain, what they want to accomplish as a team, making sure everybody's in it together, but that everybody is really their true authentic selves. And it sounds so fucking cliche, because I think that that word is overused. But I mean, that's where you're going to pull the best out of people, where they feel the most comfortable to be themselves. And that's where you're going to perform the best on the pitch as well. So I think that is what he's alluding to, is when he sees that trauma. He sees players who are are putting up walls because they're fearful of showing who they truly are. And then they can get the best out of them, pull the best out of them individually, but also collectively when they're free to be themselves.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, you look, he talks about mindset and where this TFC team is. When you look at mindset, these players are some of the best skilled players that they have. They didn't become poor players overnight and losing confidence. It's all, you know, like you said, some of the most skilled players in the world. If you don't have the right mindset, you're not going to get an awful lot from them. So he has the ability to do that, to really create a culture wherever he's been. And he's always had his naysayers that, you know, he's never done this and he's never done that. And he's blah, 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 never done coaching at club level. And okay, it's true, but he can build a culture like I've never seen anybody build one before. And he's done that brilliantly with two different national teams and both the female and the men. So it doesn't matter who they are. It's people that he can really do that. And he's one of the most interesting people you must admit that we've ever come across. Certainly one of that I've ever met. He's certainly not a boring guy. He's an educator. He's a teacher as much as anything.
And it's great to see that human side, right? I think in past interviews with John on here, we've seen that human side kind of creep in. He talks about his vacations in his VW van with his wife, that kind of stuff. And like you were saying, Dubs, usually he's switched on. It's John Herbin, the football coach. And that's very impressive. But then you see him lay his soul bare. I think that is so refreshing to see. And as perhaps as a footballer under him, as you mentioned there, they must, you would think, have a feel of freedom now to just speak their mind, to be honest with him as he builds his culture as well, you know, disarming them as well. You don't see that very often in sports, right? There's this macho alpha bullshit industry that we're all involved in. It's so rare that you do see this. Occasionally you do. Dele Alli, that kind of, you know, I thought of that when I heard this interview, Dele Alli's interview before the season, explaining his struggles. And I was hoping that Dele would have an incredible season, by the way, but he's still bloody hurt. Mm. But anyway, but well, you know, Sharms,
the other thing too is these are kids, right? Like a lot of them are kids who've been sheltered, whether it's female or male. It is a sheltered, privileged life. And, you know, one of those things, I lived it a little bit. And then all of a sudden you're thrown into the spotlight where every movement you make from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep is followed. Now there's social media. John, and going back to the mental gymnastics, I have no idea what, if anything, Canada Soccer could have done to make it better or worse or anything like that. But just the worry of not having to worry about your back, meaning not having, feeling confident about the administration of this federation. You know, if every day we had to worry about us using the conversations we had against each other or something like that, or not coming to the table or someone not doing their job, we wouldn't be successful. We wouldn't be able to continue doing this if we were being inauthentic. So there's a level of that where I'm like, wow, the way he managed that, I'm surprised I'm surprised he did so well and got the team to where they were. So amazing, you know, amazing results. But part of the results were for him, obviously, he couldn't enjoy, right? Like he wasn't enjoying all the moments he should have.
That is the sad part, isn't it? If you think about it, he's achieved this incredible accomplishment, leading Canada back to the World Cup, first time in 36 years. The whole country's watching. That's the whole country watching a soccer team, a men's soccer team for the first time in a long time. And he can't really enjoy it. Meanwhile, his daughter's having this great experience. He said that, how much she loved the World Cup, because I'm sure he didn't divulge to her at the time what he was going through. And him not to enjoy that, he must feel ripped off. He's a football coach, right? He's at the cusp, the top of the pyramid. He's achieved everything you can achieve, really, certainly as a Canadian soccer coach. And you can't actually enjoy it. That sucks. That's a burden that he's going to have to deal with, I think, for a while, I think.
Yeah, you have to navigate that a little bit. It must have been difficult for him to come to that realization after that fact. You know what I mean? Like that probably wasn't an easy discussion that he had to have almost with himself to address those feelings, because I'm sure there was a lot of pent up resentment towards Canada soccer, towards the situation. But I mean, he talked about, talking about trauma, but like, there's also like, he used the word fracture as well, talking about the dressing room, but he must feel that almost about himself and that, not that environment, but that experience in a sense, like, as you're saying, Sharms, that he was almost robbed of it when it should have been pure enjoyment. You know, he should have just been reveling in it, but he didn't get to.
I feel bad now, Craig. You know, during the World Cup, I think we had fun with it, you know, and the whole
Croatia. Yeah, I think that might have.
Go ahead, Craig. Sorry, you're a little bit delayed here.
I know. Sorry about that. No, I was just thinking about. I was thinking about the World Cup, and then obviously, I think it was probably after the fact that he didn't really enjoy it, because when his daughter says, "Well, I had such a great time. It was one of the, you know, brilliant, you know, experiences of her young life," and yet when he's in that state of mind, or when anybody is, it doesn't matter what somebody says to you. You're like, "Well, that's interesting, because I don't feel that way." You know, that's kind of what I got from his interview, is that I'm not feeling that this is as exciting as it is for my daughter, and it should be. And she doesn't understand that either, and probably won't. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But for him, I think that was a turning point, certainly when he got back and thought, wow, geez, I didn't enjoy that as much as I should have.
Not to mention, I mean, that when you see your kid experiencing and enjoying something wonderful, you should also revel in that enjoyment too, and seeing them enjoy it. So being in the space he was at must have been torturous, I would think, to see your kid experiencing this thing, and you can't, you know, immerse yourself in that enjoyment as well because of what you're going through mentally as well. It's brutal. I was saying that I feel bad now, because I think we had fun in the World Cup, and even when the whole Croatia incident happened and the front page of John on the Croatian media, you know, the naked John.
And then we put up the naked John.
I know. And oh, it's funny. Oh, he'll see the funny side of it. But I mean, Christ, we had no idea what he was going through. No clue. And it's a good lesson, isn't it? I put it on Twitter. You never know what's behind the mask. And it's a good lesson not to take these people for granted, because there's a lot of shit going on in everyone's head. We all go through it to a certain degree, I think. But on that stage, it's a different level. I did find it, Craig, you mentioned earlier, and it's something we should think about, because when we have interviews on Footy Prime, there's five or six of us v1, right? That is intimidating for some people. Not I'm not saying John, he can handle it. But for some people, we're rather large personalities, and together we are like the mob. And I can understand why people might be perhaps not too open to appearing on our interview show. So I think, you know, we'll talk about this. And once we get the website launched, we want to bring back interview for sure. We want to get some fascinating people on this show. It doesn't always need to be six of us v1. I think you can do a one-on-one and get those kind of interviews. I think that'd be a brilliant idea. Even though we're lovely people and we'll never gang up on you unless you're a dick, in which case, watch out, because Broccoli's frenemy cauliflower can be really nasty.
Joey Barton. We're coming for you.
Those listening and not watching. So we're doing this. It's good chat, this, right? And we're hitting some important issues. And I can't help but smirk a little bit when I look down and look at our name tags on our record here. And one of them is Broccoli's frenemy cauliflower. So when Wong is talking about, you know, his struggles with his dad's death, and it says Broccoli's frenemy cauliflower.
Well, that's the point, right? Like, there's going to be, what is it? In every life, some rain must fall, right? Like, you have to see the other half too. And the other half is we pick each other up, we make each other cry, we make each other laugh. And that is part of the adventure of Footy Prime, let's be honest. We kind of know where we want to go in a show, but that's a microcosm for what this show has turned into. It's therapy, it's enjoyment, it's community, it's building up not just our own personalities, but letting other people, we're inclusive as fuck, And that's why, you know, from the Rhonda Brownlee.
We have a broad with us, for Christ's sake.
We do. We have a
yeah.
One of the broads is with us. Oh, and speaking
generous of you.
Sharms, did you know, and sorry, I'm switching this, but Rian's dad just got nominated or no, enrolled.
Inducted
into the rugby, Canadian Rugby Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So he was.
So it's Rian Wilkinson for those. Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you've never spoken rugby with her. And I didn't know either until she put it up on Twitter.
Did you guys not know? I thought you knew that based on how, Sharms, you kind of threw in some rugby chat when
she
was
young. Yeah, she mentioned it. Our first interview with her, she mentioned the rugby background. And that's where my eyes lit up. Maybe I'll do a one-on-one interview with Rian and her dad. One-on-two in that case, I guess. About
rugby. He was inducted posthumously.
Yes, he passed away.
Yes. Yeah.
So way to go again.
That'll be challenging.
Well done, Sharms.
Yes, and also this is actually an opportune time for me to say, because people are like, oh, we should have Amy's mom on with her sisters. I'm like, my mom died 2 years ago, guys. Yeah. I don't want to be like the Debbie Downer on Twitter. no longer with us. Yes.
But I wanted to... Congratulations to the Wilkinson family. That's absolutely brilliant. That's brilliant.
And it's a good opportunity while we're just talking about community. Chris Corrigan and Amy shared it with me. Just said, honestly, this is awesome. I hate this app. And he's talking about Twitter. But there are a couple of communities left that keep me here, including the TSS Rovers fam and the Footy Prime crew and their legion of really smart and funny supporters. Thanks for making me smarter and dumber in equal measure this year. And that was also after our friend Rhonda Brownlee put together a fun little video. If you're bored, follow Rhonda, follow Footy Prime.
Rhonda Brownlee.
She put a wonderful video together to the soundtrack of Everybody Knows Your Name from Cheers. And it's amazing that we have this community that likes to do this and wants to do it and help us reach more people.
That you could put that song to anything and I'll start crying.
Jeffrey Dahmer cookbook.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You put that soundtrack to a Dahmer documentary. It's beautiful. It's incredible. Listen, I think, you know, you mentioned there, Wonga, that, you know, our podcast go in various directions. We never know. So I think we should call it right now. That's it for today's podcast. I've got some other great topics which we can get to tomorrow, because obviously we're recording on Thursday morning and also tomorrow being Friday morning. Things that we will get to and that I plan to get to today, but this conversation took on a life of its own. The Canada Soccer Awards being handed out. And by tomorrow, I think the men are being handed out tomorrow, so we may not know the winner by tomorrow's show. We'll know the women's, I believe, though, by tomorrow's show. I also have here no soccer players making the final nominees for the Northern Star Award. Okay. What else do we have here? Oh, yeah. Great draw. Fascinating draw for Canadian teams in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Tigres, Whitecaps, Orlando City against Cavalry, and Chivas against Forge. I actually read that at Chicago earlier today. Chivas. Mm-hmm. It's actually Chivas. Champions League games, of course, this past weekend. Big games in the Women's Champions League as well, Dubs, as you reminded us. Massive games, actually, today. We can maybe talk about the results tomorrow.
Yep. Evelyn Vienne, I think, is back and will feature for Roma against PSG. And then later on, I think Chelsea is against BK Hacken. Canadians in that clash, because we have our three Canadians for Chelsea and then Clarissa Larrissey plays for Hacken.
Okay. As we're all sick, it's a perfect.
That's what I was doing 2 days ago. Okay, Hacken. Hacken.
Hack. A Turkish referee got punched by.
Oh my God.
Horrendous. We'll get into that tomorrow, perhaps. It was just appalling. Obviously.
Jimmy called him soft as grapes, but he broke his orbital bone.
I think
you
were joking.
Bone,
right? Yeah. He went down pretty easy, but I mean, listen, he broke his orbital bone. So.
Dead of bricks.
bare knuckle fist and punching is very different to. And of course, footy picks tomorrow. Tony Bett, Dotsy, ahead of a great weekend of Premier League action we can catch on Fubo TV. So we'll get to that tomorrow, or at least some of those topics tomorrow anyway. But I think today we should call the Hawks. I think that's a pretty good.
Before we leave, I just want to leave us with one of the best reviews we've gotten recently. And this was 5 stars from Amelia Fiona. And it says, excellent fish is the title. Had the pan-seared sea bass. It was great. Service was great. Would dine there again. I think that's a metaphor. So yes, I think it is. Or she did it in the wrong place.
We'll take the five stars.
Five stars.
The five stars do make a difference to everyone out there. So get on there. Give us a nice review. Subscribe and like and all that bullshit I hate hearing on other podcasts. We'll do it as well because it helps us impress sponsors and make us relevant.
Yeah.
Sharms, what is on your toque?
Pickering Power. It's my daughter's ringette team.
Oh, fun. Nice. I thought it was a state of Texas. I'm not going to lie.
He's very proud of the nuclear energy.
Yeah, exactly. Those isotopes, delicious. Delicious. That's
get used to them.
You do after a while, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Six fingers, one hand. It's okay. All right. We're back Friday morning. Hope you enjoyed it, everyone. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
That was a great show, guys. Really good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.